We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
It's great to be here. Amen. Great to be in a great church where people are growing. It's amazing. Thank you, Pastor Chad, for the opportunity. I'm also excited to see Pastor Don and Pastor Nita, who were with us in Africa a few months ago. I'm really excited to be with them. They are great people, amazing people. I really love them so much. All right. I came in the U.S. on the 7th of November. I was in Ohio where I had come for a basketball coaches training. I was sent by Campus Crusade for Christ. Here they are known as Crew, through their wing called Athletes in Action. So that's where I was. For your own information, I have never touched a basketball. I didn't even know how it goes and how they play it. But they sent me to be part of that training. But now I know I can throw, I can bounce. What do you call? Yes, I can do everything. Thank you. Now, here's my story. I was born in a family that didn't know God at all. The family was so much rooted in the traditional religion. But my uncle used to come and pick me from our house every Sunday to attend Sunday school, which I really loved so much. I really wanted to go for Sunday school because of the problem that I had. I felt there I would be comforted and maybe I would be welcome. The problem that I had was I was born dumb. I could not speak. The thing is that I could produce a voice. I mean, I could produce a sound, but I could not make words out of the sound. So it could be the sound, just sound coming out of my mouth, but no words. So that was a serious problem that caused me to not have friends. I grew up playing alone because I would fight if I, you know, people would laugh at me, and many times I would be angry and try and fight others. So to avoid fighting, I would stay alone. So it was one day at the school where I used to go, that a young man called me for a Christian group. And I attended that Christian group. It was there at the Christian group where a young man preached the word of God so clearly. It was so clear to me that I said I wanted to receive Christ. I wanted to be born again, which I did. I received Jesus Christ at that group. And that young man who preached that particular day invited me to their church on Sunday, which I did. I had to bank the service for my uncle's church, and I had to go to this young man's church. It was at this young man's church where the pastor called me up front, and he prayed for me. And when he prayed for me, that's where my miracle happened. My tongue loosened. There and there, my tongue loosened. I began to speak clearly. I began to speak clearly for the first time. And it was really a miracle that everyone who knew me, they really praised God for. Yeah, they were so surprised to see that a dumb boy is now speaking. And when I went home, my mother could not believe me. Could not believe what she saw on me. When I was speaking to her, she thought, she couldn't believe what she saw. She almost collapsed because she never thought I would speak and produce words like that. She was so surprised. And I told her, it has happened at the church where I've been today. I've been prayed for at the church. And that's why I got my healing. You know, that is a miracle that brought all the members of my family to Christ. All the members of my family came to Christ. Even the people who knew me in the community. Actually, our house was well known so much, because everyone who wanted to direct someone, he would say, "You pass through that, you know, that dumb boy's house. You know that, you know." It was like a mark, sort of a mark with people. So, yeah, all the people who knew me, many of them came to the Lord through the healing that took place on my life. So from there, I developed the desire for the word. I developed the desire to pray. So I joined prayer groups because I didn't want to lose what God had given me. I thought otherwise one day I would be dumped again, so I didn't want to be. So it's like I joined the prayer groups and read the word so much. That made me, the calling on my life was so strong that even after my high school, I never went for any secular job. I know not of any other job apart from serving God. I went straight into full-time ministry. Actually, I became a pastor of a church at the age of 19. I was given an assembly to pastor where there were so many elderly people, and I didn't know how I was going to do it. But one thing I'm grateful about was the team of elders who were around me. They really recognized the calling upon my life. They saw the calling upon my life and the giftings that I had, and they really stood with me to make sure that I succeed. They were so close to me to make sure that I don't err. They were with me all the time. They made me to be successful in my ministry. So I'm really grateful to that. So as when I heard about the new senior pastor here, Pastor Chad, I said, wow, a young man, 33 years old, is now senior pastor of such a great church. But I know, you know what, with a team of elders around him, Chad is going to make it. He's going to make it. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. What a story. Thank you so much, Pastor Tickshaw. How many think God is still doing miracles? Man, God, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I loved when He told me His story yesterday. I thought, man, we got to have Him share that testimony. We got to have Him share that testimony. And what I loved is He explained, when you were prayed over in that church, you were 12 years old. So for 12 years, He had gone through that hardship. 12 years. Could you imagine your adolescent years, your preteen years dealing with those things? God is faithful. And it was in that moment that it affected His community, not just His family. I'll tell you, your past, your struggles, if you give them to God, He can make something amazing out of it. And it's not just going to be for you. It's going to be for those around you that know your struggles. Yes? Amen. Man, God is a good God, and we serve a great God. Thank you, Pastor Tickshaw, for sharing that story with us. Oh, man, your testimony, there's power in your testimony. We overcome our adversary, or the devil, how? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. There's power in your story. You got to share your story. And so today, we're going to pray and we're going to dive right into the word. Is that good? Father, we thank you for your word, Lord God. We thank you that it's sharper than any two-edged sword, Lord God. We thank you that it penetrates the hearts and the minds of those willing to let it in. Father, we open our hearts this morning and say, change us, Lord, as we read your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning, although we do have our great Christmas stuff out. You can't dodge Christmas. I don't know if you realize it. We're in New England, so we're just on to Christmas. You know, it's like Bill Belichick always says, we're on. We're on to something else. So we're in Christmas mode, our little snowflakes and everything. But I actually am not going Christmas direction right now. It's too early for me right now, okay? And so we're going to be talking about safe harbor. Safe harbor. This is a message that had been on my heart for a few months. I shared it with our team. If you don't go to team night and you consider yourself part of a team here in the church, I'd really encourage you. If you're somebody that wants to get more involved at Metro Church because it's changing your life in such a good way and you want to continue to pour and give back and say, God, I just want to serve the house, then team night is a great place to start. So I shared this what was on my heart a couple months ago at team night, and it won't let go. And so the whole church is getting it. Is that all right? All right. Well, see, I love when God speaks to you about something the Spirit has already been stirring in you. It's a voice or a word of affirmation. And I want to talk on this thought of safe harbor. I had a prophetic word spoken over not only my life, but the life of this church a few months ago when I was with Pastor Steve at Wave Church. And he said this during this prayer. He said, the word was that not only I, but this church will be a safe harbor to our region. It will be a safe harbor to our region. And as soon as he said that, it resonated in me. It was a confirmation about what had already been stirring in me in regards to the kind of lighthouse or the kind of church I had been believing Metro would continue to be called to be. You know, we've had 31 amazing years here at Metro Church, and like we say, same story, new chapter. You know, we're on mission here, but it's important for us to keep in mind the kind of church, the kind of people, the kind of person that we should be, right? And so understand, as I talk about this, it's not just broad to the church. We are the church. It's not just broad to, hey, I want this place to, if we don't become it, this place won't be it. If we don't choose to be more like Christ, the church won't be able to shine as bright as it should. Do you understand? And so, a safe harbor. See, when I think about this church, I want it to be a place where every person, regardless of their backgrounds or past decisions, could come and meet Jesus. See, a house or a harbor that's judgment-free. A safe place to discover who God had called and created them to be. Most importantly, the call to relationship with Him. Look what it says in Psalms 107, 28 through 32. Then you called out to God in your desperate condition. He got you out in the nick of time. He quieted the wind down to a whisper, put a muzzle on all the big waves, and you were so glad when the storm died down, and He led you safely back to harbor. So thank God for His marvelous love, for His miracle mercy to the children He loves. Lift high your praises when the people assemble. Shout hallelujah when the elders meet. Harbor. There are two major thoughts. When you say the word harbor, there are two things that you could clearly be talking about. We're going to talk a little bit about them both. A harbor is a place on the coast where vessels may find shelter, especially when protected from rough waters. It's a place of refuge, and you could be talking about it. It says, one of the meanings in the definition here, it says the offered harbor of His arms. Okay? Also, it says to keep a thought or feeling, typically a negative one, in one's mind, especially secretly. That's another reference for harbor, right? But we're going to talk about both of these meanings that come to mind when we talk about harboring, because actually they affect each other, and you'll see how I mean that later on. But the fact is, number one, God has called Metro Church to be a safe harbor for all people. And when I say Metro Church, you could just take away Metro. God has called church to be a safe harbor for all people. See, I'm personalizing it because this is our home. But if you're visiting today and you're going back to your home after the Thanksgiving season and you're headed back to wherever you call home, your church is called to be a safe harbor. Why? Because the church is one body globally. You know, when I talk to Pastor Takeshire about his church, I understand we're talking about the same body. I understand we have different functions. I understand we have different callings. We have different gifts. I understand those things, but they complete each other. And so we are called to be a safe harbor for all people. Look what it says in Psalm 62, 6 through 8. It says, God, the one and only, I'll wait as long as He says. Everything I hope for comes from Him. So why not? He's solid rock under my feet, breathing room for my soul. Who needs some breathing room for your soul? Come on. An impregnable castle, I'm set for life. My help and glory are in God. Granite strength and safe harbor God. So trust Him absolutely, people. Lay your lives on the line for Him. God is a safe place to be. If you don't feel safe right now, if you feel like you're in a storm, if you feel like life's not fair, if you feel like you're struggling, can I tell you, God is a safe place to be. If we could draw near, the Bible says that those that draw near to me, He will draw near to, right? So if we're drawing near to God, He's going to draw near to us. If we seek God, He will reveal Himself to us. If you're struggling, He is the safe place to be, and we need to be drawing closer to Him, not using Him as a scapegoat. You know, when struggle hits in your life and things aren't going right, are we running to God or are we blaming God? How can you blame the one that is our safety? It's easy to. Well, God, I didn't bring this on myself, so why did you? Oftentimes we'll say, well, I don't think God brought this on me, but why did He allow it? How about we just get to our safe place? How about we just say, God, I don't understand life. I know it's not fair, but I need You now more than ever. I'm need you here. There's an amazing song we used to sing in this church, just talking about our need for God. Our need for God. And so he is a safe place. God is safety for us. His house should be a safe place to be in. We should be a safe place for our community, our region. Metro Church is more than a church in this city. You know, actually, this is pretty interesting. How many of you come to Metro Church and you're not from Marlboro? Lift your hands. More than half of the church is not from this city. Can I tell you, this church is not a Marlboro church. This is a region church. I was looking at some of the demographics. Last time I checked, over 15 towns and cities came together and made Metro Church. Some were coming from over a 45-minute drive to Metro Church. And they make it on time. We're to care for people. We're to care for this city, yes, but we're to care for our region. And I believe Metro Church is a regional church, and I believe that the region that we care for is going to continue to expand and enlarge. I believe that God is going to grow the territory, not just for us to feel big and proud about ourselves. It's about souls that are having eternal salvation through Jesus. Look, it's not about butts in the seats. It's about the souls that are saved. Do you understand? We're not just trying to create a crowd, because the Bible talks about crowds. How many remember when Jesus would draw crowds to himself? He'd say something really strong and you'd see them run away. He'd say, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no place for me. And half of them are like, that's weird. And he's just like, they're not listening with spiritual ears. We're not trying to draw a crowd, but if the crowd... Now, let me also understand, we're trying to draw people. But I'm not looking for fans of Christ, I'm looking for followers of Christ. Because at some point, it's not getting any easier to be a Christian, first of all. And secondly, it's not going to get easier. The Bible I read says that we're going to come upon tougher times. It's going to wax colder and colder, the Bible says. And so what I can tell you is this, you need Jesus, and you need to be more than a fan of Jesus. And so we need, as this world continues to deal with the world around them, good Lord, have you seen the world around us? As they continue to deal with it daily and they're trying to figure out what's going on, we need to be a safe place for them. We need to be a safe harbor. We are to care for people. And it's not just the pastor or the staff's responsibility to follow up on connections and relationships. If you meet someone on a Sunday, like today, it's a Sunday, you meet somebody new and you happen to make a connection with them, why don't you follow up? Called Facebook. Use it for good. Crazy idea. But the point is this, guys. It's very easy. I mean, oftentimes, and we've all thought that in a moment, like, man, if I can just get them to church, the pastor will preach a fire message. And then someone else will follow up on them, and then the church will disciple them. No, where are you in the midst of all this? God called you. He called you. And so just understand, this is something we do together. You're the church. It's not just our responsibility as staff members on church. Man, we are the church. What are we doing for Christ lately? What are you doing for Christ's sake? Literally. We're to care for people. Look what it says again. Let's read it again in Psalm 107. It says, then you call out to God in your desperate condition. He got you out in the nick of time. He quieted the wind down to a whisper, put a muzzle on all the big waves, and you were so glad when the storm died down, and he led you safely back to harbor. So thank God for his marvelous love, for his miracle mercy to the children he loves. So we'll stop there. Sometimes the way to save the ship is to get the Coast Guards connected and tow the boat into safe harbor. The point is this. It says that he led you safely back to harbor. What it means is Jesus met you where you were. We oftentimes require people to get on our level before we will help them. Oh, you can come to the church, but you got to cut your hair. I hear stories, man, down the South. I hear stories like when people get... Back in the day, we're talking 20, 30 years ago, but they'd get saved, and all of a sudden, they got to get rid of their earrings. They got to change their clothes. They got to change their hair. You don't need to do this anymore. You don't need to do that anymore. It's like, time out. God loves me for me, and you're not God. And so rather than you judging me on your standard, how about you allow God and me, how about we allow God to catch me up to the things that he cares about, rather than using your filter to tell me how to live? See, the problem with church is that too many people think they're God. The problem with church is that too many people think that they were called to strike conviction in people's lives. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Newsflash. We've just got to understand, I got to be a safe harbor. I got to love people. I got to encourage them in the word. I'm not God. I'm not here to condemn. I'm not here to judge based on my flawed angle and perception. We've got to, here's the thing though, we have to be able to go out. Because most ships that are in struggle and stress of the storm, most of them that are in a place that's not healthy, the fact is they're so unhealthy they can't make it to harbor. That's why they know they're in problem. But if we don't have the ability to have such a firm foundation anchored in the house of God, we can't help people either. But we're called to go, the Bible says. Go into all the world. Go beyond your safe harbor. Get out beyond the jetties. Get out into the ocean's deep. Help somebody. Somebody, please help somebody. We're called to shine a light. But how many realize, have you ever been to a light store? Like you walk into it and there's just fixtures everywhere and lamps everywhere. How many realize that if I was to put another light next to the table that already had a light? I mean, the whole place is lit up. Maybe if we could disperse some of the light in darkness, it would actually do something. We're supposed to come together. Yes, we're a city on a hill, right? We come together for church, but our lives change here so that we go out and shine a light in the darkness outside of the safe harbor so that we can lead people back to the safe harbor. Yes? That's what we're called to do. Number two, a safe harbor is found by a lighthouse. A safe harbor is found by a lighthouse. It is the lighthouse that warms and welcomes and guides the distressed boats into harbor. You and I are the church. We are called to reflect Christ's light into a dark world. The darker the night, the brighter the light. Don't be scared about the way the world looks. Fear not. Don't be worried. Don't have anxiety about the times we live in. Bible tells me we were called for such a time as this. God called you to deal with this stuff. And it says that he would never give us more than we could bear. So the fact of the matter is we're called for a time like this to do something about this. And we reflect the light. We're like a diamond. Remember, shine bright like a diamond. I preached a message about how we don't create light. Just like a diamond, we don't create light. We reflect the light that comes in. What's coming in? Fellas, if you've gone diamond shopping, your same money can buy you a huge stone this big that's completely yellow, or a little stone this big that's flawless. Why? It doesn't matter how big your ego is. It doesn't matter how big you act like you carry Christ. If there's impurity in you, you're not going to reflect it well. God, I want to be somebody that shines your light, and I want to shine it brightly. I want to be able to take captive the thoughts that I have, and I want to be able to cast them out. I want to be able to die to myself daily, so to speak. I want to be able to put my opinions to rest. I want to be able to put my opinions below your word, not on top of your word. We're called to be the head, not the tail, but sometimes what's in our head makes us the tail. Our opinions need to go below his word, not above his word. Lighthouses. What I love about the idea of lighthouses is they do not compete. They're on the same mission. They have the same purpose. So not only do we not compete, but churches should never compete. They're a beacon to their region and to their city. When we look at each other, we should be rooting on all the churches around us. We should be excited. If they're preaching the name of Jesus and they're doing it well, Amen, amen. You know, oftentimes I'll talk with somebody about Jesus, and I'll say, oh, do you have a church? And they'll say, oh, yeah, I go to this. Awesome. Stay rooted. Stay rooted in your house. If God's called you there, stay rooted in that house. I'm not looking to swap fish in an aquarium. We were called to be fishers of men. Okay? Church growth, if I had you all stand up and shift seats and sit at a different place, unfortunately, too many people call that church growth. We're called to go out of harbor and to reach somebody for Jesus. Isaiah 60, 1 through 3 says this, arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. When Jesus is in us, we reflect Christ. We have the ability, it says that we're image bearers, right? We're image bearers. It's literally saying, rather than fearing the night we are entering into, let's keep our focus on the distressed people that need to see our light. Because it's not really about us anyway. Shine bright. Reflect Christ's light. God is the light of the world, but we need to wear him well. Do you understand? Because the church, when I did this interview with CBN recently, which we still don't know when it's going to air, I'll let you know. But the point is, when we did this interview recently, they were asking, how on earth are you going and reaching the quote-unquote nuns of your region? Not nuns of a nunnery, nuns of a non-affiliated to any faith or church. I had to help them understand that, especially in New England, I think about 20 or 30 years ago, they were saying 80% of anyone affiliated to any church was a Catholic church. And that's because we're in Catholic country. But the point is, I had to help them understand, look at the majority of, because they were saying, well, especially in that 20 to 30 age, I said, no, most of them had some affiliation with church. That's why they don't go anymore. They've been there. And the church that they went to didn't offer the hope that the Bible speaks about. The church that they went to, unfortunately, didn't wear Christ well in certain situations. Unfortunately, the church that they've been to, maybe people towards the top failed, but instead of being humble and dealing with it well, they tried to cover it. And people, you can see right through that. What we need to do is be genuine in how we wear Christ. And I'll tell you, if you've come from a struggle background, if you've come from, you used to be in a church, I personally know people that were affected by the scandals that literally had happened to through the years. And so I understand how close to home this gets. But can I tell you, that is not what God intended for the church. That is not the church God called. And so unfortunately, so many in that time, they were raised you need to understand, God cried that day. It hurt God. That is not the kind of church he's called us to be. Let's be transparent. Let's understand that we're not perfect. But let's also understand the great call that God has for each and every one of us. And when we come together, there's a synergy like never before. There's something amazing that comes from the body of Christ being in unity. Because where there's unity, there's power. Sorry, that was a tangent. I'm back. Number three, safe harbor is a felt change from the danger of open water. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says this, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. For those of you that have been in church for a little while, you know I've preached on this message recently because it keeps churning in me. God, I want to be more like your son. Jesus, I want to be more like you. Well, what does that mean? I read things like this and I go, this is how Jesus dealt with the world. If I want to be a safe harbor, I've got to be willing to let people find rest before I try and teach them. So many churches have got it backwards. Let me teach you, and because you have all this head knowledge now, you'll find rest. But actually, the head knowledge is not what gives you rest. Jesus gives rest, and Jesus can be here in a minute. And so let me be a safe harbor. Let me let people be themselves, and let me love them anyway beyond their dirt and their grime and their struggle. Because rather than me getting up on a high horse, let me remember where he took me from. Let me remember. You know, what happens is the revelation of Jesus that we have, if we're not careful, it becomes the standard for everyone else to live by. Well, this is how I know Jesus. This is how I'm living my life. So now this is the standard for how I look at you. Can I tell you, the Holy Spirit is really good at helping people understand. He brings conviction. God's word, when we're in the word, the truth will speak. Let's encourage people, but let's love them like Jesus said. Throw that scripture up for me again, Christian. Here we go. Check it out. It says right here, come to me, all you who labor and heavy laden. I will give you rest. I will give you rest. After he gives them rest, he talks about, I'm gentle and lowly of heart. It talks about, learn from me. We have to be willing to give people rest before we expect them to listen. Before, do you get it? Do I need to keep harping on this? Let's love people. So, what I love, though, the safe harbor is a felt change from the danger of open water. What I love is oftentimes I'll speak to people that have come into the church and they've found the church, whether it be through, thank you, Google. Whether it be Google or Joel Osteen's ministry or, any number of things. They come into the church and they go, oh, man, I had no clue that this kind of church was here. And so my thing is like, I want to figure out how we can let people know this kind of church is here. We're still working on how to do that better. If you have an idea, please, throw spaghetti to the wall. If it sticks, we'll use it. We are looking to get out into our community and let them know we're here. But the thing that keeps them here isn't the amazing fire message that was tweeted. It isn't the amazing stage design. Oh, look at that. We got a Christmas ornament. That's pretty trendy. Huh. I'm in a forest up here, snow falling. It's not just because of the stage design. It's not just because they had a cool bookstore to hang out in. It's because of the relationship they made with somebody here who cared. We're to be the salt and the light. In New England, I don't know if you realized, but it's not necessarily the most warm and welcoming and conversational place on the planet. Has anyone ever left New England and realized how New England can be if we're not careful? I mean, goodness gracious. Have you ever tried to walk through, have you tried to walk through a grocery store? Have you tried to connect eyes with somebody and talk to them? You're like, hey, how you doing? I don't work here. Like, sometimes you just feel like Dory in this world. You just want a friend, But the point is, listen, I'm overly social and I look for the opportunities and I don't find them very often. So when people come into this house, they see salt and light, something they're not used to. They experience relationship and genuine care and authenticity, not because anyone in here is perfect. Exactly opposite. The reason they experience that authenticity is because maybe we're grounded with where we came from, so we're even more likely to open our arms to somebody. I've been on that side of the track. Come on, give me a hug. And they're like, this is weird. Okay, don't give me a hug. That's weird. That's cool. Fist bump. All right, cool. Let me get you a coffee. You know, whatever it is, it's relationship. People, they didn't come because of this, or they didn't stay because of that. They stayed because of relationship. All you got to do is be willing to be friendly. The Bible says, he who wants friends should show themselves to be friendly. I have no friends. Well, maybe you're not friendly. No one wants to be around me. Maybe you're not likable. You can change that. It takes effort. But the fact of the matter is, God loves us so much that he won't allow us to stay the way we are. He loves us so much, he says, come to me, I'll give you rest, and then I'm going to teach you. And what I teach you, although it may not come natural, it may not come easy to you, it's the right way. And once you embrace that, man, life is just going to make sense. Amen? It should be a felt presence. Remember, in this church, I always want the word heard. I always want the Spirit felt, and I always want his power seen. That's what I want for this church. I want Metro Church to be known for those things. If God is shining through you, they can experience Jesus through your conversation just as much as they do any other part of this service. If we just go out of our way and just be willing to talk to somebody, be willing to be bold in our faith, but do it with love, man, that's different. It's attractive. It's okay. Not everyone has to believe what you believe. Not everyone has to agree with what you say, but you've got to do your part and say it. We've got to share Christ's love. Let's be a church that's a safe harbor for those that don't fully agree what we agree with. What does that mean? Doubting Thomas didn't even believe that Jesus rose from the dead, but the disciples didn't kick him out when he said, well, I'd have to see it myself. They allowed him to stay even though he didn't believe what they believed. They allowed him to catch up on the revelation of who God is in his own time. I want to give you space. I'm here to encourage you in what the Bible says. I'm here to be your pastor if you'll let me be. But the fact of the matter is, I'm trying to give you space so that God can speak to you. We're all on a faith journey. We're all on different parts of the journey. But this place is going to be a safe place for people to discover God. Is that good? You getting anything out of this word? Your story is powerful. You got to share your story. I already said all that, so I'm going to jump right to point number four. You ready for this? Number four, we're going to talk about the other side of harbor. What we harbor affects how we harbor people. What we harbor affects how we harbor people. Job 36:13 says, the godless in heart harbor resentment. It is critical for us to be sure that we are leading our own life well. If we're not healthy, how can we show others what health looks like? And that's a personal thing. We take inventory of ourselves. You know, oftentimes I'm in my car and I'll just turn the radio off. Man, it's amazing what happens when you actually will allow yourself to be in silence. We live in such a noisy world. It's like, you know, to the point where some, you know, most people, I'd probably say, this might be going on a limb, but I don't think so. A lot of people can't sleep when it's completely quiet. They need some sort of noise machine or a fan or something. Some people fall asleep to a TV. Why? I think because we live in a white noise society. There's always something going on. But when you're willing to turn off the noise, remember, because God speaks in the still small voice. When you're willing to turn off the noise and you start, man, I'll turn off the, you know, I do not drive to church with music on. People say, well, why don't you put on some Hillsong? Why don't you put on some worship? I need to hear from God. I won't drive to church with music on. You can do whatever you want. That is not me filtering how you live your life. But the point is, you need margin in your life to hear from God. If you do not allow him to speak, how can you complain when you don't hear him? So I'll turn things off and I'll just be silent and I take inventory. God, am I pleasing you? Is my life shining your light the way that you want me to? Have I taken the opportunities that you've afforded and given me? How am I doing? It's in those questions that I actually figure out whether I'm healthy enough to actually harbor people or whether I'm harboring something that is unhealthy and can't harbor people because of it. We've got to take inventory of ourselves. 1 Corinthians 11:1 says this, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Do you have the ability, not because you're perfect, but you have the ability to say, hey, I know you don't get this whole thing. Just follow me because I'm following Christ. That doesn't mean you're perfect. It means you're striving towards being better. People will respect you if you're transparent enough to say, I don't got it all together. I don't have it all together, but what I can tell you is I'm better today than I was yesterday. That progress is healthy. But when I read that scripture, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ, I see two things when I read that scripture. It jumps out to me. Firstly, we should be sure that the example we are setting is healthy, not perfect. The example we're setting must be healthy, right? But secondly, if we are to follow God's word, we should actively be encouraging others to follow Jesus. How well are we doing at that? Have we allowed society to silence us because we don't want to, maybe it'll hurt the relationship. What if they're not ready to hear it? What if this is the thing that changes our relationship? I got to tell you, honestly, if talking about something you love and believe in so much affects your relationship, what kind of relationship did you have? Now, of course, if you don't do it in love and you decide to, you know, cage fight with your Bible and beat people up with it, yeah, of course they're not going to like you. I probably won't like you. But the point is, if I want to just for a minute share what I truly believe in, and I give them the ability not to believe in it, and that's okay, but I needed to sow seed, we've got to be people that are willing to talk about what we believe in, because everyone else doesn't have any problem. Let's not harbor anything that would keep us from God's best or that would keep someone from finding Christ because of our poor example. Proverbs 4:23 says this, "Above all else, guard your hearts, for everything you do flows from it." God, how's my heart doing? Where are my intentions in this thing? Am I doing it because you said I had to do it, or do I actually have a fresh revelation of who you are, so I love you so much I can't not do it? If you live off of yesterday's manna, you'll never have today's relationship with God that he wants you to have. You can't live off of what, you know, you've got to be seeking him fresh and anew daily. We've got to have a real-time relationship. There's nothing worse. You know, I'll be away from my family for a few days or a week on business, and it's like, I'm trying to find time to connect with them on the phone. I'm trying to find time to Skype with them. But yet sometimes we go weeks without talking to God. We come in and we go through the program of church. But when's the last time you actually sat down and said, God, we need a heart to heart. I need you to know where I'm coming from. I need you to speak to me on things that I'm struggling with. I need your encouragement on things that I'm worrying over. You got to have a real relationship with God. And so you got to guard your heart. You got to take inventory of it. I want us to be true lighthouses that welcome people into Jesus' safe harbor. But we can only reflect what is in us. You can't shine bright if you don't have him shining in you. You can only reflect what's in you. So as Terry comes back, I want to ask you, what is in you? What is in you? You can only reflect what is in you. Is Jesus in you? Will you bow your heads and close?
We hope you have enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church. For more information about Metro Church, please visit our website at www.metro-church.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter.